Well, howdy folks, welcome to my daily teaching videos. It is great to have you here. I've been looking forward to being here with you because today I'm going to jump into a brand new series all on the subject of how to build a relationship with God. And I really do encourage you to listen all the way through, bake this into the fabric of your day, because it's so vitally important that we learn to enter a relationship with God. Amen. The church has done a pretty good job of helping people start relationships with God. The church has done a really bad job of helping people enjoy and flourish and walk in the fullness of that relationship with God. And over the coming weeks, I'm going to really explain how to build into, again, the fabric of your daily life, a relationship with God that actually really works. How to be a friend of God. Before we jump into today's teaching, let me do two or three quick announcements. Firstly, I have a brand new book on this subject called Building a Relationship with God. It is out now on Amazon. You can get this as a paperback or as a Kindle download. And I also have a study guide that goes with the book and helps you get the most of that. We have several churches here in the U.S. that are now using this as a small group resource. So if you're a church pastor, you might want to consider that. It's just me. I'm a tactile person, but I really would encourage you to get a physical copy of a book and write on it and draw circles and make it yours. It's so easy to have digital things that live there in the cloud. There's something real about holding something, reading it with your Bible, going through and engaging with it. You get a whole new level of experience that way. Good. Secondly, if you're new to my YouTube channel, it is great to have you here. Welcome. My name's Graham. I am a British, French, American. Go figure. Live 22 years in the UK where I was born, live 20 years in France, where I still have a home, and now live 13 years in the United States. But I am a citizen of heaven. Most of all, I lead churches here in New England, travel internationally, but I love coming to YouTube and teaching. We have over 1 million subscribers to our YouTube channel. So I want to say a big thank you to all of the subscribers to this channel. And lastly, I want to say a big thanks to the partners of my ministry. You know who you are. You are awesome. We love you. And if you're not yet a partner, I would really encourage you praying about becoming one. Boom. So let's do this. If you have this book, I encourage you to follow along as we do that. And I'll be working from my personal notes here as we go through this. So let's start here in lesson number one, the promise of a relationship. I'm going to read a verse. 1 Corinthians 1 verse 9 says, God is faithful. I love that. Do you know God is always faithful? God is the most faithful person in the universe. I love to just at times step back and think about that. God has never broken a promise once to anybody. Never has, never will, never could do. God is utterly faithful to his word. I sometimes think we can approach the subject of faith like, do you have faith? Do I have enough faith? Where is my faith? You know, I'm not that interested in my faith. I'm interested in God's faithfulness. It's not the power of my faith that will get things done. It's the promises of God. But it's not just the promise of God. It's the fact that God is faithful. And when we say somebody is faithful, that sentence actually doesn't mean a lot in the abstract on its own. If I said to you, I am faithful, you might legitimately say, well, to whom or to what are you faithful? I could say, I'm faithful to my wife. I'm faithful to the nation I live in. I'm faithful to pay my bills. I'm faithful when I give my word and say, I'll be there at such a time. I'll be there at such a time. And when we say God is faithful, we're not, oh, he's faithful. Like, amen, sure. But what we're actually saying is he's faithful to his word. God keeps his word. It says in Joshua 21:45, there has not failed aught of any good word which the Lord spoke to the house of Israel. Every word that God spoke came to pass. Every single word. He's never failed one person once. It says in Deuteronomy 20:19, God is not a man that he'd lie, or the son of man that he would repent, which means to change your mind. If he said it, he'll do it. If he spoke it, he shall bring it to pass. Hallelujah. I preach myself happy already. We have a God who is utterly, absolutely faithful. God will never break one of his promises ever. I have a friend who is getting on in years now, but a wonderful man of God who's lived by faith for many years. And when this was, he was a much younger man, kind of beginning his journey of living by faith financially. An older minister once said to him, listen, this faith thing is easy. If God ever breaks his promises to you, just write a book. Call it, I am the only person God has ever failed. God cannot fail you. He cannot fail. Hallelujah. Just think about that. God cannot fail. You know, right now on planet Earth, the strongest currency in terms of the reserve currency of the world, the thing that more people use and rely on than anything else in terms of international currency, is the United States dollar. Now, it's not what it was, and thanks to many politicians, with inflation it gets eaten away, but it's still the gold standard in terms of, it literally is the gold standard. People don't put the money in bars of gold. They tend to put it still in the US dollar. There are many countries you can go to and it takes a mass hundreds of thousands of something to buy a loaf of bread. Italy's been like that a few times. Mass inflation. Germany was like that before the Second World War. And there are still countries where they have a local currency, but in the real world, if you want to buy something, you need to use dollars. Why is the dollar reliable? Because the strength of the United States, its economy, its people, its system, its military stands behind that dollar. And here's what I want you to see. God is faithful to his word. God's word is powerful. Lots of people spoke lots of words. Lots of people have come and called themselves prophets, and lots of people have written books. But this book came from heaven, and this book is backed by heaven. I've only said three words so far. God is faithful, who has called you into the fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. God is faithful, who's called you into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And I just want to begin today by opening up this subject. God has invited you into a great and glorious, incredible relationship with his Son, a relationship which can never fail, which can never falter. God invites you, literally, think of it this way, the relationship that the Father has had with the Son, and the Son has had with the Spirit, and the Spirit with the Father, and the Son with the Father, that glorious triune relationship that they've always had throughout all eternity, the glory, the love, the intensity. Jesus said, as the Father loves me, so I've loved you. Learn to continue in my love. That relationship, we have been called into that relationship. We've been invited into that relationship. I don't know if you've ever thought about that. When a baby is born, imagine a boy meets a girl, you know, young man meets young lady, they fall head over heels in love, they get married, they can't, you know, and they begin this wonderful life, and there they are living together in a way, as it should be, just pouring their love one into another. And out of that love and that intimacy, a child comes along. Now, think of it this way. Imagine the love level is at 100% in that home. What happens when the child comes? Does the mother love the father less? Does the father love the mother less? Does the baby steal the love? The love actually gets amplified. And what happens is that baby gets placed, bang, in the middle of a relationship between mom and dad, of their love for each other. Their love for each other becomes the love for that child. And in a sense, it's not like they have to start a brand new relationship. They are like literally dropped in from heaven, so to speak. They're placed in the middle of that relationship. And that's the relationship God wants you and I to have. Really, here's our challenge. The only relationship God ever wants you to have with him is the relationship his Son Jesus had with him. Our standard, our model, our example of a relationship with God, we only have one. It's the relationship Jesus had with his Father. As we read through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we see Jesus, a perfect Son of God, righteous, holy, in perfect relationship with his Father, filled with the Holy Spirit. We see him in interacting, abiding in this relationship. Again, we'll get to this in a later lesson, but there was only one time that relationship, only once that relationship was ever broken at the cross. Bang! And Jesus cries out, my God, why have you deserted me? Why have you abandoned me? And God wants to, Jesus was abandoned that I might be adopted into the Beloved. I have been placed in the Beloved. Now, I think what most of us do, if you'll think about it, is we're really replicating two things. We're replicating the relationship we have seen other people have with God. We've looked around us, we've seen a pastor, our parents, people of influence in our life, you know, some great saint, we've read the biography of. We look at other people's relationships with God, and then we emulate those, and they become our gold standard. Now, I think we should, and it would behoove us to follow other people. Paul wrote to Timothy and he said, follow me as I follow Christ. The Bible says, be followers of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. So we should follow others in that sense, but they should never be our standard. So often what I think we're actually also doing is we're following how we live with Jesus in our past. I'm recording this on a Saturday. You know, by and large, the normal is that I'm going to walk with God today, Saturday, in the same way I walked with him last Saturday, or the Saturday before, or the Saturday before that. Our life, after a while, it's like water finds its own level. We tend to find a certain level we don't drop below in our relationship with God. But we also have a ceiling. We're like a stock trading on the stock market. All stocks have what they call support and resistance. Like a high level and a low level, and they tend to drift until something happens between a certain point. Most of us live in that place with our relationship with God. We might have low days and high days, but they're defined by yesterdays. And my challenge to you at the beginning of this lesson is that God wants to rewrite your standard, your hope, your expectation of a relationship with you. He invites you into a glorious relationship that will satisfy your soul, that will make you alive. Hallelujah. I am excited about where I'm going to go with this in the coming days, and I'm going to give you some keys to activate the relationship you already have. Selah. Boom. Guys, again, thanks for watching. I'll be back tomorrow with another lesson. I really would encourage you, because it's life-changing, to pick up a copy of this book. Again, you go to Amazon, we'll get it to you tomorrow in most countries, and I know this will be a blessing to you. Drop me a line if I can pray for you. I'd love to hear from you, and I'll be back tomorrow with another lesson. Bye for now. Welcome to my daily teaching videos. It is great to have you here. I've been looking forward to being here with you, because today I'm going to jump into a brand new series all on the subject of how to build a relationship with God. And I really do encourage you to listen all the way through, bake this into the fabric of your day, because it's so vitally important that we learn to enter a relationship with God. Amen. The church has done a pretty good job of helping people start relationships with God. The church has done a really bad job of helping people enjoy and flourish and walk in the fullness of that relationship with God. And over the coming weeks, I'm going to really explain how to build into, again, the fabric of your daily life, a relationship with God that actually really works, how to be a friend of God. Before we jump into today's teaching, let me do two or three quick announcements. Firstly, I have a brand new book on this subject called Building a Relationship with God. It is out now on Amazon. You can get this as a paperback or as a Kindle download. And I also have a study guide that goes with the book and helps you get the most of that. We have several churches here in the US that are now using this as a small group resource. So if you're a church pastor, you might want to consider that. It's just me. I'm a tactile person, but I really would encourage you to get a physical copy of a book and write on it and draw circles and make it yours. It's so easy to have digital things that live there in the cloud. There's something real about holding something, reading it with your Bible, going through and engaging with it. You get a whole new level of experience that way. Good. Secondly, if you're new to my YouTube channel, it is great to have you here. Welcome. My name's Graham. I am a British, French, American. Go figure. Live 22 years in the UK where I was born, live 20 years in France, where I still have a home, and now live 13 years in the United States. But I am a citizen of heaven. Most of all, I lead churches here in New England, travel internationally, but I love coming to YouTube and teaching. We have over 1 million subscribers to our YouTube channel. So I want to say a big thank you to all of the subscribers to this channel. And lastly, I want to say a big thanks to the partners of my ministry. You know who you are. You are awesome. We love you. And if you're not yet a partner, I would really encourage you praying about becoming one. Boom. So let's jump into day two of this lesson. What I want to do with you today, I want to talk about what actually happens when we are truly born again. As I said in yesterday, in lesson number one, we, by and large, the church has done a great job, the evangelical church, of communicating to people how to begin a relationship with the Lord. I came to the Lord under the ministry of Billy Graham in 1984. And Billy Graham would be a prime example of that. Somebody who taught really well, really clearly and accurately how to step into a relationship with God. As evangelicals, we've taught you as sinners, you cannot get to God. Nobody's good enough to be with God. Jesus comes. He's the perfect Son of God. He dies a substitutionary death on the cross, is raised, and now all who call on the name of the Lord, all who put their faith in Christ, can enter into that relationship with God. Sound familiar? I hope so. It should do. You know, there are still churches on the earth, and I don't mean to be critical, but churches like the Roman Catholic Church or the Eastern Orthodox Church that don't clearly teach those things. It's interesting, there are many people in the Catholic Church who are born again, but they're not usually born again because of the clear teaching of the Church of Rome. They're usually born again in spite of that teaching, in the midst of all of the bells and smells, and I don't mean to be mocking, but the different things going on. They reach out in faith to Jesus and they meet Jesus. I've met many priests, I used to live in France for 20 years, priests who are born again, and yet they don't clearly know how to explain to others how to step into that same experience. Now again, we as evangelicals, I think we've done a great job of teaching, here's how you begin a relationship with God. I think where we've failed is in teaching how to unpack that relationship, how to enjoy that relationship, how to maintain that relationship. It's like we help people. Imagine a dating agency that connects people and helps them get married. Wonderful. And then we desert them and you've got all these dysfunctional marriages going on. And I think at a very practical level, a lot of us have a dysfunctional relationship with Jesus. Just take a minute and think through this with me today. How was it for you when you met Jesus? Now, I know we don't all have a clear moment we can say this is it. And for some people, you know, growing up in the things of God, they came to Christ at a very early age and it was more of a coming into the awareness of that thing. For many of us, for me, it was a dramatic thing. I was brought up in a Christian family. Parents were sincere, loved God, took me to a church. And yet it never even occurred to me until the age of 14 that this was actually true. It was just all background noise. I literally thought, well, I'm in the north of Europe, so we're Protestants. If I was in the south of Europe, I'd be Catholics. If I was in India, I might be Islam and Hindu. If I were in, you know, Saudi Arabia, I'd be Muslim. If I lived in Tibet, I'd be a Buddhist. I mean, I just looked at it like background noise. And I'll never forget the day, July the 14th, 1984, I met Jesus. It wasn't that Billy Graham preached a wonderful message and aha, the lights came on when he connected the dots for me. It wasn't actually about that. For me, it was about an encounter with God. I went into a football stadium spiritually like a blind person and God pulled back the blinkers and blinders from my eyes and I saw the light, not the light of the truth. I was a sinner, Jesus, but I actually saw the reality. God was in that place. There was a person called God, and he was wonderful. He was the greatest thing that had ever existed. and I could meet him. It was like he was saying to me, come to me, all you who are heavy laden, I will give you rest. And that day, I stepped out of darkness and into the light, who is Jesus. Now, here's the main point I'd love you to grasp today. This is a sad reality, and yet it's one we can make, one that is useful on our journey of building a relationship with God. I think for many Christians, we never go further. I'm trying to put this in good language. In one sense, our high point of what it actually means to come into relationship with God is at the very beginning. We'll never actually grow deeper. The day I met Jesus in 1984, I don't actually know him more 40 years later. I know more about him. But the point is, I entered into that relationship, that love, that acceptance, that forgiveness, that fellowship. And I think for many of us, we've entered into a relationship with God that's real, that's transformational. And then we begin struggling, and then we begin trying to earn these things or learn these things or practice these things. And I think it would actually behoove us to go back to step number one. When I talk to people about what it means to be filled with the Holy Spirit, I will often say, guys, just forget all of your trying. Go back to the day you were baptized in the Holy Spirit. And what I love to tell people is you can live that day. That could be Groundhog Day for you. You can live in that day, that experience for the rest of your life. Every day can become that day. Make that day your Groundhog Day, your normal day, your day on repeat. And I know for me, when I experienced Jesus in that way, it was glorious. It was so real. I wasn't trying. I was plugged in. I was like a lamp and God plugged me into the circuit. And if a lamp's plugged in for 40 years, it's not more of a lamp. I was placed into Christ Jesus. And I think what's happened for many of us is the realities of our Christian life. I think most of us have at least an initial salvation experience like that, or one that we can relate to, a particular season where I was so close with God, I walked with him. And I think over time, it's like things come and block the pipes. It's as if we have this wonderful industrial hose pipe of living water flowing from the throne of God, from Christ the living rock into us. And yet it's as if over time we begin to lose that experience, as if things begin to block the system. What are those things? I mean, frankly, sin is one of those major things. Sin and the consciousness of sin. They're actually different things, and yet they relate very much. So often Christians who are born again, they've tasted the good, the powers of the world to come, as Hebrews 6 says. And then when they are battling their own sin, the battling habits, the battling failure, those very failures push them away from God. At an experiential level, they become Adam and Eve, hiding from the Lord and sowing fig leaves to try and cover themselves. And I think there are many things we need to look at and allow the Lord to take away, that we can come back into the fullness of that relationship. I'll finish with this today, but I think one of the major battles, probably the main battle I would face in building this relationship with God, is that of distraction. If we will have our eyes fixed on Jesus, live a life of worship, stay full of the Holy Spirit, stay full of the Word, it's actually very easy to live that overflowing life with God. What Satan is a past master at doing is he'll take our eyes off of Jesus and we start looking at other things. Now, they can be sinful things, but often they're just innocuous things, things that aren't particularly bad or good. You know, TV, distractions, internet, phones, social media, ministry, wives, kids, husbands, family, projects, hobbies, million other things. And I find a lot of Christians live like functional atheists. Again, pause, think this through. My point is, they are born again, they've got a relationship with God, Holy Spirit lives in them, but at a practical level, they put that in a little box. It's not like they're even trying to put it in a box. Rather, they fill the screen of their minds, of their focus, of their affections and their attention with the things of the world. Turn your eyes on Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things on earth grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Can I say this? If you turn your eyes on the things of the world, the things of Jesus will grow strange and dim in the light of the glory of the things of the world. Now, the world is not glorious, and yet, if that's what we put our focus on, it will fill our minds, it will fill our affections. That's why Paul says in Colossians 3, if you be risen with Christ, set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. Again, we're going to continue with this tomorrow, and I'm going to give you more keys into building that relationship with God. Selah. Guys, again, thanks for watching. I'll be back tomorrow with another lesson. I really would encourage you, because it's life-changing, to pick up a copy of this book. Again, you go to Amazon, we'll get it to you tomorrow in most countries, and I know this will be a blessing to you. Drop me a line if I can pray for you. I'd love to hear from you, and I'll be back tomorrow with another lesson. Bye for now. Welcome to my daily teaching videos. It is great to have you here. I've been looking forward to being here with you, because today I'm going to jump into a brand new series all on the subject of how to build a relationship with God. And I really do encourage you to listen all the way through, bake this into the fabric of your day, because it's so vitally important that we learn to enter a relationship with God. Amen. The church has done a pretty good job of helping people start relationships with God. The church has done a really bad job of helping people enjoy and flourish and walk in the fullness of that relationship with God. And over the coming weeks, I'm going to really explain how to build into, again, the fabric of your daily life, a relationship with God that actually really works. How to be a friend of God. Before we jump into today's teaching, let me do two or three quick announcements. Firstly, I have a brand new book on this subject called Building a Relationship with God. It is out now on Amazon. You can get this as a paperback or as a Kindle download. And I also have a study guide that goes with the book and helps you get the most of that. We have several churches here in the US that are now using this as a small group resource. So if you're a church pastor, you might want to consider that. It's just me. I'm a tactile person, but I really would encourage you to get a physical copy of a book and write on it and draw circles and make it yours. It's so easy to have digital things that live there in the cloud. There's something real about holding something, reading it with your Bible, going through and engaging with it. You get a whole new level of experience that way. Good. Secondly, if you're new to my YouTube channel, it is great to have you here. Welcome. My name's Graham. I am a British, French, American. Go figure. Live 22 years in the UK, where I was born. Live 20 years in France, where I still have a home. And now live 13 years in the United States. But I am a citizen of heaven. Most of all, I lead churches here in New England, travel internationally, but I love coming to YouTube and teaching. We have over 1 million subscribers to our YouTube channel, so I want to say a big thank you to all of the subscribers to this channel. And lastly, I want to say a big thanks to the partners of my ministry. You know who you are. You are awesome. We love you. And if you're not yet a partner, I would really encourage you praying about becoming one. Boom. Well, welcome to day 3 of our teaching on building a relationship with God. Get a copy of the book. It's my sleazy ad. And we're going to have fun today, guys. If you've got a Bible, come with me to John chapter 3. I have my old Bible here from the 80s. I was looking through today. And John 3, 16. And you say, Graham, do you need to turn that? Sometimes it's good to turn to a page in the Bible and look at it. In fact, let's read from John 3:14. The word says, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Which, if you know the backstory, all speaks about a story of healing in Numbers chapter 12, I believe it is. Whosoever, there's an old Baptist song that says, whosoever meaneth me. Whosoever is me. That whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And of course, verse 16, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Zoe life. Here is my challenge with you today. I think through a tradition and religion, we taught that everlasting life means life that lasts everlastingly. Hello? Doesn't take a lot to work that out. In a way, we see the word eternal life, it's often translated as in life that lasts eternally, heaven's life, life that will go on forever and ever. And of course, we are people of space and time. We live in, I like to say we live in 3.5 dimensions. We live in 3 dimensions, height, length, depth, height, length, depth. But we also live in half a dimension called time, which at least from our perspective is only moving in one direction. As science and Einstein have taught us, time may not even be real. It's relative. It goes, different places in different ways. It's a weird thing in a way that can be hard for us to intuit and get our heads around. But here's the point I want you to grasp today. We've often sang the songs, haven't we? And it's a great song, "When We've Been There 10,000 Years, Bright Shining as the Sun." We tend to think about eternal life as in the duration of that life. Now, of course, the life God gives us will last eternally. I will have an eternal life, a life that never ends. Amen. That's not actually really the point. When Jesus is talking about eternal life, everlasting life, Zoe life, he's referring it more to the quality of life rather than simply the duration of life. When Jesus says, "I have come that you might have life, Zoe, and Zoe more abundantly," again, it's not only about the duration, it's about what type of life. And I want you to catch this here. Jesus was the most alive person that has ever been. Hallelujah. Jesus was, and Jesus is, completely and utterly alive. At the cross of Calvary, he gives up his Zoe life. The life of God is in Jesus. And at the cross of Calvary, he gives up that life. Why? That we might have it back. And again, what religion has done has taught us that, yes, one day when we die, one day when Christ comes or calls, bye-bye pie in the sky, we will have eternal life. I want to tell you, eternal life does not start the day you die. Eternal life starts the day you were born again. In fact, if you don't have eternal life before you die, you won't have eternal life after you die. And my main premise in sharing this with you is to teach and share and show that you have God's eternal life right now. Now, let me apply this to this subject of building a relationship with God. I think the challenge for most of us, and you think if this is true for you, is what we have actually done is we tend to think, yes, I have a relationship with God right now. It's wonderful-ish. Nobody will stand up in my church tomorrow and say, it's wonderful to be saved-ish. And yet that's actually where a lot of people practically live. They go, I know this is wonderful, but I wish it could be a little bit more wonderful. You know, the average Christian will hear somebody who's absolutely overflowing and transformed and satisfied with Jesus, and they'll be happy for them, and yet they'll also be slightly jealous, like, what do I do to get one of those? How do I step into that level of relationship with God? And I want to tell you, you can. You're in the right place, and I'm going to explain exactly how to do that in the coming days. What I want you to see, though, is this. I think most of us live with the current reality of our relationship with God. And yet, we look at the future, we look at the eternal future, the future after we die, the future in heaven, if you will, the New Jerusalem, the future eternity. I think what most of us do is we go, I've got a relationship with God right now, and it's great, but it could be a lot better. I'm failing, I'm sort of running on one cylinder compared with what I could be. But one day, in the future, after I die, I will step into the fullness of that thing. I will be living at 100%. I'll be running on 100 cylinders. Does that make sense? One day in the future, after death, we'll have this glorious relationship with God. But right now, we're kind of meandering slowly through the heat and the mud, like some old hymn says, I hate. Here's what I want you to get, guys. God's only got one relationship to give you, and he's already given it to you right now. And I believe that you can have, you can enjoy, you can step into heaven's relationship right now. And if it is true that our relationship with God right now is on a spectrum compared with the 100% that it will be in the future, whose fault is that? Now, I don't say that to broker blame or shame or condemnation, but I believe you can have the fullness of that relationship right now. I believe Jesus lived in the fullness of the relationship he will have with his Father throughout all eternity while he was here on the earth. Now, of course, while we're here on the earth, we have a physical body, we have needs, you need to sleep and eat, and, you know, there's bad weather and good weather and bugs, and Jesus lived with those realities. So I agree, if you take all of those things away, life will be so much greater when we don't have those sorrow and sighing things going on around us. But my point is, Jesus, the relationship Jesus has with the Father now is not greater than the relationship Jesus had with the Father during his walk on the earth in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Same relationship. And I tell you, the relationship you and I will have when we've been there 10,000 years is available to us in the here and now. What we've got to do is begin to believe that. What we've got to do is actually have hope and vision and entertain even the possibility that that is possible, that that is something God sets before us. And I believe if we'll do that, we'll step into this glorious place in that relationship with the Lord. What I want you to do today, and I'll be back with more thoughts on this tomorrow, is actually think, what's it going to be like in that, when we've been there 10,000 years place? What's it going to be like to be gloriously living in absolute abiding fellowship with him? You can have that right now on a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. You can have eternal life now in Jesus' name. Ooh, more on that tomorrow. Thanks for watching, guys. Grab a copy of that book and I'll see you in tomorrow's video. Guys, again, thanks for watching. I'll be back tomorrow with another lesson. I really would encourage you, because it's life-changing, to pick up a copy of this book. Again, you got to Amazon will get it to you tomorrow in most countries, and I know this will be a blessing to you. Drop me a line if I can pray for you. I'd love to hear from you, and I'll be back tomorrow with another lesson. Bye for now. Welcome to my daily teaching videos. It is great to have you here. I've been looking forward to being here with you, because today I'm going to jump into a brand new series all on the subject of how to build a relationship with God. And I really do encourage you to listen all the way through, bake this into the fabric of your day, because it's so vitally important that we learn to enter a relationship with God. Amen. The church has done a pretty good job of helping people start relationships with God. The church has done a really bad job of helping people enjoy and flourish and walk in the fullness of that relationship with God. And over the coming weeks, I'm going to really explain how to build into, again, the fabric of your daily life, a relationship with God that actually really works. How to be a friend of God. Before we jump into today's teaching, let me do two or three quick announcements. Firstly, I have a brand new book on this subject called Building a Relationship with God. It is out now on Amazon. You can get this as a paperback or as a Kindle download. And I also have a study guide that goes with the book and helps you get the most of that. We have several churches here in the U.S. that are now using this as a small group resource. So if you're a church pastor, you might want to consider that. It's just me. I'm a tactile person, but I really would encourage you to get a physical copy of a book and write on it and draw circles and make it yours. It's so easy to have digital things that live there in the cloud. There's something real about holding something, reading it with your Bible, going through and engaging with it. You get a whole new level of experience that way. Good. Secondly, if you're new to my YouTube channel, it is great to have you here. Welcome. My name's Graham. I am a British French American. Go figure. Lived 22 years in the UK where I was born, lived 20 years in France, where I still have a home, and now live 13 years in the United States. But I am a citizen of heaven. Most of all, I lead churches here in New England, travel internationally, but I love coming to YouTube and teaching. We have over 1 million subscribers to our YouTube channel. So I want to say a big thank you to all of the subscribers to this channel. And lastly, I want to say a big thanks to the partners of my ministry. You know who you are. You are awesome. We love you. And if you're not yet a partner, I would really encourage you praying about becoming one. Boom. Well, welcome to day 4 of this teaching on building a relationship with God. Today I'm going to be going through my structure notes, my notes from the new book I have written on this subject. And today I want to talk about the practice of relationship. I don't know if you've ever thought about this much. But there are relationships, most relationships, all relationships have a beginning. There can be an organic side to a relationship where we don't usually think about it, and relationships meet and blossom and flourish and bloom without really thinking about. I think with most relationships, including, let's say, a romantic one, a marriage relationship, there comes a time where we actually need to think through. There comes a time where if we only allow a relationship to exist, and to, if we allow its form to be defined by just whatever happens organically, will we run into problems? Usually a time will come in every marriage where we think through, well, how are we doing married life? How are we dealing with married life? I'm a romantic, I love romance. Boy meets girl, how cool is that? And all you need is love, dun, 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 dun. And yet after a while they've got a house or two houses and a mortgage and a dog and three kids and three cars and this and five jobs and a whole bunch of dues. I mean, are they blessed? Yes, they're blessed. And yet suddenly it's not about all you need is love. There's a whole bunch of other things going on in the context of that. And I think in the same way, we come to Jesus and all we need to do to meet Jesus is call on the name of the Lord. All we need to do in one sense is cry, God, help, save me a sinner, and he will be saved. God, I don't think God ever comes to anybody and says, you didn't pray the right prayer. You didn't say the magic words. He's looking at the cry of our heart more than any specific word we speak. And when we call on the name of the Lord, we step into the glorious experience of salvation. Hallelujah. How wonderful is that? Now, the problem is so many of us end up in that place where we are not enjoying and not flourishing at times. Has anything happened in our relationship with God? No, in one sense, we're like the boy who met the girl. The basic building blocks of the two parties in that relationship are still there, but we've allowed lots of other things to come in. And I think it behooves us, it's good and right and important that we think about our relationship with God. We think about how to build a relationship. You know, relationships, I've often said this to people in ministry who, it seems, haven't thought this through. All relationships exist in a context. If you take the context away from the relationship, you often find the relationship falls apart. There are many people, for instance, who built a relationship, let's say, with a work colleague. You go to work every day. You know, there are probably times in some of our lives where we spend more time with a work colleague than we might with our children or with a husband or wife or whatever. Imagine if you worked 8 to 10 hours a day in an office and you get there and you're in that same place, interacting with somebody, drinking coffee with them. I have had several seasons of my life where I've worked in a place where I'm basically with the same people every day, and we're, you know, we know each other really, really well because we spend 8 to 10 hours a day talking. Now, I leave that job, or they do, or something, business closes down, whatever. Sometimes what usually happens is the relationship dies with the context. Now, 10, 20 years later, you can come back and have a reunion, all the people who used to work at the XYZ company, and yet you don't usually have much of a relationship, an ongoing relationship going on there. You're usually trading on the joint memories of what happened all of those years ago, and you become very different people. Now, it's a sad thing in a thinking about a marriage relationship, or we could say a relationship with children, where there was a wonderful season of warmth, fellowship, and relationship, and they're grown apart and they're living, trading on where they were many, many years ago. Let's talk about our relationship with God. We can learn how to build a relationship with God. It is not enough that we're living today in a dysfunctional relationship with the Lord, trading on how we once lived with him many years ago, or trading on the fact that one day in the future we will have a glorious relationship in eternity. God wants you to have that glorious relationship with him now. And my challenge to you, and again, we'll talk about this more in the days to come, but what are the contexts? Where are the places you meet God? You can practice your relationship with the Lord. It's interesting. I'm a guitar player, and for many years I've been playing guitar. I have many guitars. I have guitars in my homes, in my offices, places like that. I'm actually really quite far away from a guitar. And what will happen to me, usually about 5 to 10 times a day in my office, let's say at home, I'll be making some tea, and while that kettle is boiling, I'll grab my guitar and start playing, and I forget I'm even making tea. And I set myself up to practice. If I were to only practice guitar when I went to a special storeroom and take a guitar out and tune it and put strings on it and set it up, it wouldn't happen. What I've learned is I make it easy to practice those things. I make it easy. I take away the resistance, the incline on the treadmill. I make it easy to do. And I believe there are things we can do to make our relationship with God easy. Yeah? Now, I once played golf, I think in about 1977. Could have been 1978, but it was a long time ago. Yeah? Now, if I came to you and said, I am a golf player, that would be a slight exaggeration. Yeah, I have not played for many, many, many years. Let's say 45 years, something like that, probably more than that now. That I can't say I'm a golfer. I can say I once played golf. And if you're a golfer, it's something you practice. And my encouragement to you is, if you want to build the relationship that you want, if you want to build a relationship that God wants, if you want to build a relationship the world around you needs, and if you're going to build a relationship with God that you actually need, that your soul craves and longs for, I believe you need to start, and I believe you need to come to this subject with humility. You know, if you'll keep doing what you're doing in terms of your relationship with God, you'll keep getting what you've already got. It's not rocket science, is it? If we do what we've always done, we'll get what we actually have. And I want to suggest to you at the beginning of this journey that you come to this subject with humility. You come to this subject to learn, but you also come to this subject to unlearn. You come to this subject being willing to let go of your thoughts, your ways, your practices, and step into a whole new place where you allow God to give you the habits, the practices, the context that will build a relationship with Him, which will really change and satisfy you. Selah. Guys, I'm going to be back tomorrow with a short Q&A. If you have any questions on this, I'm going to take 5 or 6 questions on this subject. And I'll be back next week with more teaching on this. Again, remember, grab a hold of a copy of this book, and the study guide that goes with it would also really help you on that journey. Bless you guys. I'm gonna see you. Yeah. Yeah. Hey friends, in my daily teaching video today, I jump into part 4 of my brand new series on building a relationship with God. In today's video, I talk about the practice of how do we actually build a relationship. A relationship can happen, can come into existence, and can be built organically without much thought. But often there's a period where if that's all we do, there's a breakdown in that relationship, and we need to be thoughtful about how we practice relationship. What are the contexts? What are the meeting places? What are the rendezvous? What are the habits, the patterns that uphold and sustain a relationship? Relationships don't exist in a vacuum. They exist in a context. And in today's video, I explain how to build that relationship with God that works. Bye for now. Guys, again, thanks for watching. I'll be back tomorrow with another lesson. I really would encourage you, because it's life-changing, to pick up a copy of this book. Again, you got to Amazon will get it to you tomorrow in most countries, and I know this will be a blessing to you. Drop me a line if I can pray for you. I'd love to hear from you, and I'll be back tomorrow with another lesson. Bye for now. Well, hey guys, welcome to my weekly Q&A. We are in the midst, we just began actually a brand new series where I'm teaching from my book, Building a Relationship with God. I encourage you to get a copy of this. I'm going to be teaching on this for the next few weeks and doing a Q&A once a week on this topic. So it's great to have you here. Let's jump into these questions. Question number 1, how far can we go in our relationship with God? I love this question. How far can we go? As far as the road goes. You can go as far as you want to with this. And, you know, I have a motorcycle here. I rarely use it. I was in my garage yesterday, my barn, just kind of charging this thing up over the winter, and I'm pretty safe. I don't really use it a lot, you know, just little country drives occasionally. But every now and then I like to get on the highway when it's clear and safe and everything's right and just twist that nozzle, you know, straight line. I don't do it for long, even for just like 1 or 2 minutes, and just push that thing as far as it will go. How far can we go with the Word of God? How far can we go with the Spirit of God? How far can we go in our relationship with God? Can I tell you, we can go as far as Jesus. We can go as far as all eternity. I don't think God has ever drawn a line in your life and said, this is as far as you can go in this life. Now, in eternity future, oh, it's going to be glorious. But right now, you've got a cap and a limit on your relationship with the Lord. When I was younger, I remember being 16 in the UK. And at the time, a 16-year-old could buy a motorcycle, but it had to be under, I think it was under 50 cc, and it had to have a limiter on it so it wouldn't go above 30 miles an hour. And I remember my father looking at once on my motorcycle, and my father loved motorcycles, and he'd kind of smile and he'd go, you know what, Graham, if we put a different exhaust on that, it'd go a lot faster. And he got me this exhaust. It was really, really loud. But of course, because of it, it was louder because it was putting less resistance on the exhaust thing. So the fumes would come out faster and the thing would go quicker. And my dad, I remember looking at it saying, you know, Graham, if we change the gear system on it, it would give you less acceleration, but more top speed. And he said, let's do it. And suddenly my dad turned this 30 miles an hour, you know, tiny little motorcycle into the 65 miles an hour one. How cool is that? Come on, I tell you guys, if we can change the systems that religion has put upon our life, we can go so much further in God. Will we ever in this life explore all that we can, could, should be? Again, at a practical level, I probably want to say no, but I think we can. The Apostle Paul put it this way. He says, I haven't yet attained, but this one thing I do, I forget all my failures. I forget that which is past, and I press for the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I press for the very thing which has consumed my life. So I believe we can go as far as we want to in this life. And I believe the aim, the goal, and the mission of our life should be to go as far as we can in Christ Jesus. Selah. Good. Question number two. What are the roadblocks in living out a relationship with God? It's a great question. My only hesitation in answering this question is there are so many roadblocks. I think one of those roadblocks I just covered in the first question is that we don't have a vision. We limit ourselves. We put a block, a blinder, a limiter on our own relationship with the Lord. So there's a limit of our own expectation. Paul wrote in Philippians and he said that God's Spirit will minister to me according to the measure of my earnest expectation. And in a way, we get the relationship from God that we expect, that we believe for, that we hope for. So I think the limits of our own expectations. I think at times other people have come and drawn a line or a cap on where we can be in God. I think sin, and in a sense it's just as bad or possibly even worse, the consciousness of sin or a lack of righteousness consciousness is one of the biggest bars to a relationship with God. I think again, and we'll be teaching on this in the coming days, but our focus and our attention, filling our focus. You know, your spirit is in Christ Jesus. It's in heavenly places. It's of his fullness have you all received. He that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. And yet at a practical level, you're going to experience God to the level that your mind will. Jesus said your mind is, he wrote in, Jesus spoke, I should say. Matthew 15 says, you are not mindful of the things of God. Your mind is not full of the things of God. And he said that to Peter. And to the measure that our minds are full of the things of heaven, to that measure we can explore this relationship with God. You know, we're limited by the people we walk with. He walks with the wise will be wise. He walks with fools will be destroyed, the book of Proverbs say. So we're limited by circumstances, by things around us, many limitations, but the Holy Spirit can show us those and take them off. That is the good news. Question number three, do we all have the same relationship with God? That is a really great question. And I want to answer yes and no. Question number four. No. Yes and no. In one sense, we all have the same relationship with God. And I'm going to get to this as I teach through the book. Because what's really happened in Christ is we've inherited Jesus' relationship with the Lord. I actually don't have my own personal relationship I've built with God. Rather, I've stepped into, I've received by inheritance, Jesus' relationship with God. My relationship with God is really Jesus' relationship with God. There's that glorious, that's a foundational truth. And yet within that truth, there are individual and glorious and like a snowflake, every single one is different. So in one sense, I spoke in an earlier lesson about a husband and wife who are loving each other and children are born into them, into that love, that marriage, that relationship. You know, like many of you, I have three children. All of my children have the same relationship with me. They're all 100% loved by me. They're all accepted. They're all valued. I'm committed to them. They are my sons and my daughter. Yeah, that's never going to change. And yet, all three of them have different relationships with me because they're different people. So it's kind of like both and, not either or, in terms of our relationship with the Lord. Question number four, is there a price we pay to build a relationship with God? Again, I want to be cute and say yes and no. I think Jesus paid the price for me to have a relationship with God. That's the foundational truth, the most important truth that we really need to grasp. Jesus paid the price that I might have a relationship with God. So is there any price? No, it's completely a free gift. Okay. Let me flip that coin around and look at it at another angle. There is a price, though, we need to pay. But that price, the price we pay is the price of not doing certain things, the price of reading God's word instead of watching TV, the price of hanging out with godly people rather than ungodly people, the price of choosing to do things which nourish my soul rather than simply entertain my emotions or feed my body or other things. Now, of course, ultimately, both in eternity and now, that's not a real price. Those are good things to do. And yet at the moment, let me put it this way. Long term, do you pay a price when you eat a healthy meal over an unhealthy one? Long term, you're not really paying a price. You're doing the right thing. But in the short term, when you're tempted, yeah, chocolate ice cream always looks more tempting to me than salad. Now, it's not, you know, a long-term solution. And in the same way, reading God's word takes more effort, more engagement. It could seem a little drier than maybe watching some great show or movie or whatever. I'm just giving an example here. And yet it's not. So there can be a price to pay when God says, put this down, lay this down, lay this down, that you may enter into all that I have for you. Selah. Boom. Question number five, how can we practically build a relationship with God? Well, grab a hold of my book because it's called Building a Relationship with God. But again, I'm going to be teaching on this in the weeks to come, but you have a relationship with God. What you've got to do is practice your relationship with God. What you've got to do is discover the elements, the parts, the glories of that relationship that you already have. Mm-hmm. You know, it's interesting. So this week, I was born a British subject, a British citizen, if you will, 1969, and the year 2000, so 5 years ago, I became an American citizen, and just this week, about 3 days ago, I became a French citizen. Now, I've lived in France I went to live in France in 1992. I've been there a while. I speak French, lived there 20 years. I've owned a home in France for a lot longer. I still own one today. My wife is French. All my kids are French. So, you know, it just seemed, it was a formality, but for several years now, I've been working away and gathering papers and passing an exam. And this week, I became a French citizen, legally. It doesn't make me very French. I'm still very British. But the point I want you to get is this. How do I am French, but I could practice being a lot more French. I can step into that. I can have simply a legal status as a French person. Or I can practice French life, learn French life, eat French, drive French, think French. And it's the same thing in the kingdom of God. So you have a relationship with God in Christ Jesus. You're in. Signed, sealed, and delivered. You're in. Yeah? you know, can you lose that? That's a different discussion, but I don't want to lose it, so I don't particularly want to have the discussion. My point is, you've got a relationship with God, but you've got to practice that relationship. You've got to embrace it. You've got to put it on as an identity. Put off the old man with all of its wicked ways and put on the new man created after him in righteousness and true holiness. So how do you practice this again? Many, many different ways, but by thinking, talking, and walking in the things of the kingdom of God. Guys, thanks for watching. Again, do grab a copy of this book, available on Amazon as a paperback or a digital download, and I know it will be a blessing to you. Selah, and drop me a line. I'd love to hear from you as you walk with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Bye for now. Guys, again, thanks for watching. I'll be back tomorrow with another lesson. I really would encourage you, because it's life-changing, to pick up a copy of this book. Again, you get a Amazon will get it to you tomorrow in most countries, and I know this will be a blessing to you. Drop me a line if I can pray for you. I'd love to hear from you, and I'll be back tomorrow with another lesson. Bye for now.